Hello, everyone. My name is Mumjada. It's nice to meet you all. And I, as he said, I am the community outreach leader at Youth Spirit Artworks. I started there about 5 years ago, and I have been there ever since. They support people in what they want to pursue and their dreams and such, and it has kept me there ever since that point.
So YSA is a nonprofit interfaith youth-led organization, and we've been giving job training, leadership training, and art training to underserved youth from the ages of 16 to 25 since 2007. And underserved from every walk of life, housing insecure, LGBTQ, ADA, and so forth. And we have our studio located in South Berkeley at 1740 Alcatraz Avenue. And we also have our Shanice Kill Gallery around the corner. I forgot the address. It's right around the corner.
It's the address is off Adeline Street. It's down the street from Adeline Bakery Shop.
Sweet Adeline, that's what it's called.
Yes.
Yeah, that's the cafe you're talking about. But yeah, I forgot the address for the gallery. But yeah, that's right around the corner from our studio. Our studio also has a big backyard, which we call our art lot. And we have an LGBTQ empowering mural in the back of our studio, Queer Spirit mural. And
as well as several studios around the neighborhood. Murals around the neighborhood. And there's one that is actually in the building adjacent to us. And then there's one on our actual building. And then there's one on the kind of the alleyway next to us. And it's all based off of youth participation. Youth participation starts from the ages of middle school through a college, about 25. They are all underserved youth of the Bay Area, and they have everything from learning differences to housing issues to just being underserved in general as people. The space really gives a light for everyone to be able to do the work that they need to progress on the ladder. The youth will start as aspirants, which is a learning artist. And then they can build to being a leader, which therefore they're able to have more of a responsibility as a person once they get to their leadership position. So for instance, they'll be asked to lead the space with the other youth. Leaders will be asked to speak on behalf of YSA. Leaders will be asked to go to city council meetings and things of that nature. Instead of just sitting and doing art with the other artists, which are the senior artists who help the aspirants out and their artist techniques and give them lessons on what is needed within the art world. And then we have a component in our program in which we do workshops. So every Friday at 4, we will do a workshop in person. Coronavirus wasn't going around, during Zoom, we have done workshops, and they range from, job training to interest to finance to just things that people are just like, oh my God, I have a fascination with this. Can we explore this more? And really giving the youth an empowering space and a space to be able to say, oh wow, I can ask questions and explore my life and explore what I need to learn about and, what the world might not, I might learn out in the world, but it's better to learn in this kind of enclosed space and safe space. We also have youth empowerment meetings within those workshops, and those workshops are where we are able to basically youth make the decisions for what's coming up within the space or what is YSA doing as a whole, or decisions within the tiny house village. And we will literally talk these things out, and we will be given the space to be able to make those decisions. And otherwise, most of the population would not be able to make these decisions. So therefore, it being an empowerment meeting.
Yeah. So our youth program is pretty much really committed to just giving youth opportunities to make strides in their personal life, professional, academic lives. And our youth program is really committed on just giving them a platform to express themselves through art or through whatever medium they want. For me, for example, I had never really shown any interest in becoming a social media coordinator, doing any social media work, until I got the position about 3 years ago, and I've been with it ever since, so much so that I've decided to make it a primary career choice once I age out of the youth program at YSA. So that's been pretty helpful to me. We're just really focused on giving leadership to everybody who wants to be a leader. And for even those who don't really see themselves as leaders or, you know, aren't as confident as others, we always try to make it so that everybody feels empowered from the meetings we have, the workshops that Mungie talked about, to every component of our youth program. We're trying to empower youth in every aspect of their life.
Right. And also there's a component to that called Ashe, which is a poetry program in which youth and anyone of any age can come in and express themselves over a mic. And it is led by our in-house poet, Charles Blackwell. And basically what it's giving people the freedom to be able to express in song and poetry, through visuals even, any way someone sees, you know, themselves expressing themselves. And Ashe Night is a really powerful night because everybody comes together and, you know, you can connect on an organic level and you are in a space that is non-judgmental and it's people of all ages. So that's also a program within YSA. Also where that comes from is the street spirit works, the street spirit component of YSA. And the street spirit component of YSA is the in-house newspaper. The way the youth participate in it is that they write poems for the newspaper. So the poems will go through a workshop with Charles Blackwell. And the workshop will consist of people learning about history, learning about, you know, anything from relationships to what his life was like, to asking him questions about, like, what are your opinions on, you know, political matters, or what are your opinions on, you know, if this is happening in my life. And it really gives a free space for people to be able to express themselves. And therefore, that is published out into the world. And that's another, you know, empowering part of YSA. And now the empowering part of the Street Spirit newspaper is that they go over the homeless population. They talk about what the homeless population is going through. They talk about poverty. They talk about even good things within the community, not just, you know, the bad things too. And it also gives a way for homeless people throughout the whole Bay Area, including like Santa Clara, to be able to sell this newspaper instead of begging for money, which is, for me, I know for on a like a human to human level, that's a lot better and it feels better to be able to be selling a newspaper that makes people aware of what you're going through, but then also aware of just a lot of different things. And I actually have a example of what it looks like. So as you can see online here, they have a Street Spirit workshop, a Street Spirit newspaper, and basically this article is talking about what does Street Spirit mean to you? And it was published by our latest person. Her name is Alistair Bone. And it just goes over, like, for instance, it goes over a vendor. He's been there for 23 years, and it just talks about his experience.
So Alistair Boone, she's the editor-in-chief of Street Spirit, and she's been working with all these vendors for the Street Spirit newspaper on ways in which they can remain selling the newspaper even amongst COVID-19. And we just recently started publishing the newspaper again at the beginning of last month, July 1st. But it was not published for, I believe it was April, June, and March. because we are still strategizing on ways in which we can keep them safe and to keep all of our customers safe.
Right. And so a lot of the vendors will come into the space and they'll ask for a certain amount of newspapers, and we'll count them out and give them to them. And basically every newspaper that they sell, the funding goes directly to them. They don't have to pay us back in any way, which is very, I think that's a beautiful thing.
Oh, I'm muted. and to go back to what Manjeet alluded to with, because I want to focus more on the youth leadership. So Manjeet alluded to a progression ladder that we have implemented in our youth program. And as she mentioned, all the youth who first join the youth program is start off as an aspiring artist, and in which they have to complete requirements regarding art projects and doing other required things, such as attending our Friday afternoon meetings, our youth empowerment meetings, and our trainings. And then once they complete, you know, other requirements, like I think it's completing one semester and then doing a bunch of other stuff, they graduate from an aspiring artist to an apprentice, and then an apprentice to an apprentice leader, and then an apprentice leader to leader, which Manjeet and I are. We have our own respective leader roles. I'm the social media leader. She's the community outreach leader. And then the last step on the progression ladder is you job placement. And that's what us as an organization has been working on a lot this year and last year, pretty much every year actually. But we've had to really focus on this year in creating an efficient job pipeline. So when they get to that final step, when they age out and they progress to job placement, there's a huge pipeline of potential jobs they can pursue, not just, you know, working at somewhere that's not really worthwhile to them. Because we, you know, the whole reason why we have this progression ladder implemented in the youth program is we don't want our youth to be static in the program. We don't want them to be there from the 16 to 25 age range. Obviously, we want to get them to the best possible place they can be as fast as possible.
Right. And then also there is an in-house social worker that helps youth just like pursue things and advocate for them in situations and just give them resources in terms of like places to go for therapy and whatever other needs that they have. I know personally for me and my story, the social work aspect has been very helpful because that's how I applied to college. I was able to apply to college and write my essay and get support from that in order to enter in all on my own, which was a big step for me because when I first arrived to YSA, I thought, oh, wow, I have a learning difference. This is not going to go very well. And then when I stepped out of YSA, I was encouraged and pushed enough to really think like, wow, I can do anything and I can apply for anything and I'm smart and I'm beautiful and I'm heard. And I just really want to emphasize that they never turn anyone away, anyone. It could be with any kind of struggle, they're always like, we're here, we're there, and we're going to help you progress that ladder. So not only is it a job structured program, people end up like family there.
Yeah, come near the end of this month, I'll be there for 5 years. And it's been the best thing I've been a part of, honestly. And I'll go into the best component of YSA I've been a part of. The most relevant, most significant to me is the Tiny House Village project. But before I get into that, I was going to mention another way in which we empower our youth and youth program. That is by not only giving them the three types of training I mentioned at the beginning, which is the art training, leadership training, and the art training, leadership training, and I don't know why I forgot. Anyway, but besides giving them those three different types of trainings, we give them financial compensation for getting those trainings by giving them either biweekly stipends or monthly stipends. So depending on your position on that progression ladder that I mentioned, you would either get biweekly stipends, which Munji and I get as leaders, or you'll be getting monthly stipends if you're below us. So you're getting paid to get training. So it's pretty awesome in that sense. We're empowering our youth in that sense.
Right. And then on top of that, there are opportunities so that we work within like semesters. It's not like a continuous job sometimes. So let's say you were going to school from January to May. Well, we work basically off the high school system. So basically the youth would be going to the space from September to June. And that would be the fall semester. Wait a minute.
Spring semester.
Yeah, sorry. Yeah. And then off the summer. The summer is like a month program in which we have a session for a month. And it's kind of on speed dial instead of like five consecutive months, which is really nice. And then on top of that, you will have the opportunity, if you do show that you can handle responsibility, you will be given the opportunity to be able to make money out of these, like outside of these sessions. So, you know, you'll be called in from YSA and they'll ask you to speak at a student council meeting, or they'll ask you to, you know, participate in the tiny house village, or, you know, whatever is needed, they'll ask you because you show that you're a reliable source. And once you show that in the space, they will give you more of that privilege to be able to make even more money than just the stipends.
Yeah. I remember the third one. It's art training, job training, and leadership training. I think I forgot to mention the job. So as Manji just mentioned, the Tiny House Village project we've been working on for 4 years now. We started in 2016. Because our youth in the program were complaining about the lack of homeless youth units in Berkeley, which it's still a problem now. So we discussed it several times that year. The next year, 2017, we teamed up with six of our youth, including myself, teamed up with an architect, Dan Edelson, and a contractor, John Trey Brown. And the eight of us did our first tiny house prototype in our art lot at our studio from that March all the way until November. We had a big unveiling of the prototype in the month prior, October. And that was a pretty cool learning experience. I got to learn how to use some power tools. I didn't know how to even use a hammer. There's a proper way to use a hammer that a lot of people don't even know how to use a hammer. You would think you know how to, but Trey, the contractor, let us know that, no, you have to do this and that. And like, yeah, most people think they know how to use it, but it's actually like, there's a strategy to everything. But that was a cool learning experience. And we got a lot of coverage, news coverage on the prototype from local networks to, you know, Channel 2 Fox News and KQED. Everybody was getting a lot of coverage on it. And then the next year, 2018, that was a lot of planning. We're having, I think it was bi-weekly or weekly meetings, talking about ways in which we can, best way construct a village of the tiny houses. Those were hours every single week. We were discussing the program model that summer for months, the entire summer, actually. A number of our youth was talking with our program director at the time and ways in which we can, build the program model. And last year in the spring, in March, we built another prototype. So our second. And then April, we built another one. And those 2 months, we both did at our art lot. Again, in those 2 months, we trained about 150 build leaders. About 20 build leaders. And we had about 150 volunteers within those 2 months. And then come the summertime and the fall of that year, we got a build site, 2122 Brush Street in Oakland. And that, for those months in the summer and fall, we had hundreds, probably over 1,000 volunteers come by and get their hands dirty to actually do construction and help with the construction of the tiny houses. We had safety protocols set in place. We had safety personnel just walking the space and making sure everybody was being safe, wearing their hard hats, using the ladders properly, the tools properly. We had a check-in desk. Everybody was signing hold harmless agreements. It was just a really organized construction process of the tiny houses. And then earlier this year, we had acquired, finally, after years of looking, trying to team up with Berkeley first to try to find a site for the village. And then once they couldn't help us after months and months, we went to Oakland. Finally, we acquired a site that the village is going to be at permanently, not just a build site, but an actual site, 633 Hegenberger in Oakland, which is near the Coliseum. We've been working there for pretty much the entire year so far, just making sure that, you know, the soil underneath is safe, just doing every single safety measure we can possibly think of to make sure the site will be safe and that we can start construction there without having any issues with the city or anybody, any neighbors. We've teamed up with Camp Ketov campers for the last couple months who have been coming by and helping paint murals and the fence planks and the garden planks, or the planter planks are going to be surrounding the fence in the village and also near some of the tiny houses in the village. We've had great support of about 33 different Alameda County congregations, including the president of the Interfaith Council of Alameda County, Ken Chambers. He's been a big supporter of the Tiny House Village project of ours. He's spoken up for us. We've went to their meetings and given them updates on the projects, and they've all been in support of us and advocated for us on their own behalf. And it's been a really, it's as I mentioned before, I mentioned all the details of the project, it's been the most relevant thing I've been a part of in my life, this project. As I said, it's 4 years in the making, and we're hoping to open it in, I believe, September. We've had to move the date of opening this year about three or four different times due to COVID. But we're still moving along with high momentum, and we're hoping to get it done by, I believe, September. And it's going to be housing 11 youth from Berkeley, 11 youth from Oakland, and then the last five, the 27 tiny houses, are going to be occupied by resident assistants. And all 27 of which are going to be receiving wraparound services at YSA. So they're going to be receiving case management, social work. They're going to be also receiving stipends, just like all of our youth and youth program. That's the Tiny House Village project we've been working on for 4 years. And it's been great.
Hey, Reg, could you just fill people in on how they can get involved between now and when the village opens?
Yeah, so we've been holding monthly interfaith leaders meetings. They were at YSA, but before COVID, before COVID hit. But since COVID hit, we've been doing them on Zoom. And we've been talking for the last several months on ways in which congregations can get more involved besides just donating items, their money, and their construction help. And we've talked about having a mentorship program for the congregational members, giving mentoring to the residents of the Tiny House Village. And that's still in development. We're talking about, how it would be cool that they would have, additional, father or mother figures in their lives, because a lot of these youth in the village are going to be, underserved youth. They may not have those figures in their lives, and they may not have just the support. So there's a bunch of ways in which our volunteers get involved in the projects. As I said, we've been accepting donations for the village, such as bed linen, cleaning supplies, first aid kits, and so forth. You can attend some of the construction sessions we've been doing, but due to COVID, we've had to significantly drop the amount of volunteers we have each build session. And we're pretty much just stacked to the brim with a bunch of volunteers who haven't even been able to actually do construction, because we've only kept it to a certain amount of people every build session at our studio and at the build site, or the site of the village. So I would say the best way to get involved right now, if anybody wants to, is either just donating to our GoFundMe page, donating any items that you may have that match what we still need on our Google Sheet. We still need, I can't remember, I have to pull it up, but we've gotten most of the items we need. There's just a little bit more we need. We need one or two volunteers with a pickup truck to actually move all those donated items that are in our gallery to the site. You can attend the interfaith leader meetings I mentioned that we have once a month and give any insight or, any advice, just have a word with us. And share about the projects. Let everybody know about it. posting on social media, tell everybody you know about it.
Yeah, we have a Facebook, we have an Instagram. There's a mailing list, like an emailing list about what's going on. So if you want to get involved, our page on Facebook is just Youth Spirit Artworks, and our page on Instagram is Youth Spirit Artworks, and it'll have our symbol and pictures.
No, it's just artwork. Yeah.
And you can follow us on Instagram and Facebook and just share our content. Just keep on sharing. Share the love to everyone.
And our Twitter is Youth Spirit Arts. And then Instagram is just without the S.
And then also if you want to drop by the studio, we're doing COVID, we're taking COVID cautions. So 6 feet apart, not a lot of people in the space, but if you do want to take a look in person, we're open from 12:30 to 6:30 Monday through Friday as well.
And lastly, I will show some pictures of some of the progress we've had in the projects. Let me share my screen. Okay, Zoom, I'm not gonna go back up my laptop. So... give me 1 second. Okay, share screen. Yeah, so this is our Facebook page, as Munji mentioned. It's Youth Spirit Artworks. And here are some donations. This is in our Shanice Keel Gallery around the corner of our studio I mentioned. And here are all the donations we've received so far, in-kind donations. Here's some merchandise that we sell in our gallery. So yeah, we've accepted chairs, rugs, sheets, covers, bikes, and so forth. And then, let's see, this.
We also accept toiletry donations as well. So if you guys travel to hotels and such, and you save your things, that's also a really big help to YSA, because they do store toiletries with actually in the bathroom at the studio site, and of course probably need it for the tiny house village as well.
Here's our editor and chief of Street Spirit, Alistair Boone, we mentioned earlier, and this is just her buying one of our newspapers from one of our vendors, JC Gordon, in front of Berkeley Bowl. Here are some fence planks that are on the fence of the village. This fence plank was painted by one of our youth works youth, who's actually a part of a local Muslim community. And this is a quote from Prophet Muhammad. Some artwork. This is the back of the fence. Super colorful. Some more artwork from one of our youth. She's actually the artist of two of those I just showed. Here's some more fence planks. This one was done by, let me see, I can move this out of the way. Some of our leaders, Inti Gonzalez, Justin Jones, Sean Matthew McCreary, and then two of our volunteers, Simone Ratman and Kai. Let's see, she's got some more. Oh, here's a list. Here's a list of the stuff we still need. This is the Google sheet I talked about. These are all the items of the donated items that we still need, the ones in yellow. Laundry baskets, dustpans, curtain rods. Although for the curtain rods or curtains, we have to decide on what size curtains we want. So that's gonna determine the rods, but we still need locks, helmets, and bikes. Artwork. Here's some of the tiny houses at the site. See, I'll just show a couple more, some more pictures of the village, and I think we're done.
Oh, here's some houses. That's really neat.
Yeah, really colorful. A lot of murals. we've had a lot of the congregations paint blessings, prayers and blessings on these fence planks and the garden planter planks. This is in front of Congregation Bethel. Some planks they did. Love your neighbor. I think that says all the world is all of us. Here are some of the members from Congregation Bethel. Oh, Beth Abraham, sorry. Wrong temple. That was Bethel. But yeah, we have a bunch of pictures. This is just our Facebook. More tiny houses. This was in progress. So yeah, pretty awesome. There's a bunch I can go on, but those are just some of the pictures.
We need tiny houses.
Yeah, this is the site. So yeah, any questions about the project or any components we talked about or YSA as a whole or anything? Oh, and Lauren Jewett here, she's our program director at YSA. So we have obviously a staff lineup along with all of our youth in the youth program.